Get Vacation Bible School is kicking off next week. Good job for them. Good, a lot of work been put into it. So don't forget, there's classes from children all the way up to adults. So come and join us tomorrow night at 6:30 for Vacation Bible School. You'll also get a free meal if you come. So that's another good thing. But it's good to have everybody here this morning. All you fathers here this morning. We're going to recognize you later, Pastor is. But this morning we're going to sing a song, a good old song. With I don't know if you call it scrap iron or what you're going to call it, but we're going to have some guys come up and sing a good song this morning.
Down deep in my soul,
down deep in my soul,
a melody rings,
a melody rings.
I'm winging my way back home.
A sinner
is saved,
and now sings.
My spirit now sings. I'm winging my way.
I'm winging my way back home.
I'm climbing each day.
I'll never turn back to wages of sin.
To wages of sin.
Winging my way.
I'm winging
back.
My way back home.
The night was so dark.
Ere Jesus came in. I'm winging my way.
I'm winging
my way back home.
I'm climbing each day.
Every day.
A wonderful time is waiting ahead.
I'm winging my way back home.
I mean to be there.
From sin I have fled.
I'm winging my way back home.
I'm climbing each day.
Every day.
Stand with me this morning. Let's sing a good old song. Glory to His name. Number 113, if you need it in your hymnal. Glory to His name.
Down at the cross where the Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Glory to His name. different this morning. We kicked off Bible school with the, what is that, play? Skit. And got the guys in the choir. This was born out of prayer room. We have prayer room every evening for church. And we sing Revive Us Again before we leave. And they sound really good back there. And Brother Bill got the idea we'd just have a men's choir on Father's Day. So that's how that's come about. And they're going to sound great. And I appreciate them willing to do that. It's good to have you here today. I know we've got a lot of visitors because of Father's Day, I'm sure. And we appreciate you coming here to honor your father. And let's just pray that God would bless throughout this service. Have his way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for, Lord, this church and our people. Thankful for their faithfulness. And we just pray that you would bless in the service today. Just have your way. Lord, we know it was Father's Day, but we're here to honor our Heavenly Father and worship you. And use us all today for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me mention this. We had 151 Sunday school, and that's the highest we've had in a while. Appreciate all that come out.
Save us, Lord of the crucified one. Now ransom from sin and a new word begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Save us, Lord of the crucified one. Save us, Lord of the crucified one. Talk with Jesus. like we do in the prayer room. Amen. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be restored. That's all we pray for every time. Yes. We'll sing that third verse.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, light the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, light the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. That's a good job. Now, let me say, that's the way it is in the prayer room every single time. Boy, you come out of there revived. You come out of there ready to worship. If you're not joining us in the prayer room, I invite you to join us. I'd love to see us at the move to the fellowship hall. We have so many men in the prayer room. But that's the way it is every single time. Didn't they do a good job this morning? Give them another hand. That's a great job. What a joy it is. I told them this is something that the Lord put on my heart, and what a blessing it is to see the men up here in the church leading and being leaders in our church and singing. What a great thing it is. Stand with me. Where could I go but to the Lord? Let's sing that good old song with me this morning. Come down, shake hands, and tell everybody you're glad to see me in the Lord's house this morning.
Thank you.
Sing that last verse with me on that third. Life here is grand on that last. Let me take this time right fast before the pastor comes to thank everybody. I'm not going to mention names because I'll forget somebody. Everybody that volunteered and worked yesterday in our kickoff, in our car show, it was a great job. It was a great success. I believe this. I've said this. And Chad last night laughed when I said this. Preparation equals success. Right. You don't prepare to fail. You prepare to succeed. Amen. And if you give good preparation, then you're going to succeed. And everything. So that's what happened yesterday. We've been planning it for months, and it was really good, and I appreciate everybody that came and worked. And we had so many compliments and did so well in it, and it was great. So I appreciate all of you and appreciate your love for our church, your love for our Lord, and your love for our community, because there's a lot of people that came that just passed by that stopped by. So that was what it was for. And looking for a great week of Vacation Bible School. Amen.
Tell Brother Bill, anything we do, you never have a shortage of volunteers.
Right.
It's always took care of, and I appreciate it. And again, there were some behind the scenes, and we appreciate everybody that done a good job yesterday. Let's pray for a good Bible school this week. The Lord will touch it, because that's the kickoff for it. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to bless the offering. Brother David, would you lead us?
Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for this time that we can come to worship you and hear from you, God, from your word. I pray that you bless our pastor this morning, Lord. And God, that you give him that anointing he needs. Yes. And God, give him that liberty. And Lord, I thank you for each father that's here this morning. God, I pray that you bless them. And God, help them to continue to raise their family up the way they need to be. And God, thank you for the offering. I ask you to bless it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
this journey is one of despair. This morning is laden with prayer. Then God's word speaks sweetly of a holy white city. From that point I look just ahead. I see banners waving in a land called heaven, saying here not one tear will be shed. My way seems so with no pain, a place where there's joy, peace, and rest. Sometimes I see nothing but sorrow and suffering. From that point, I look just
us. You know, some of us were very blessed with godly fathers that taught us right and that showed us the way to the Heavenly Father. Some didn't come from that type of home, but you still have a Father that loves you so much. And if you don't have that Father today, you can know Him before you leave today. He is so good, and He is so gracious and faithful.
Amen.
And He never leaves us. And I'm so thankful that He is my Father, and I love Him.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing. little John said he is precious. While leaning on his bosom, so for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him?
Good job, ladies. I appreciate the Holy Spirit, you minding the Holy Spirit this morning. Luke chapter 11, we'll read the first four verses. Luke chapter number 11, I appreciate everything's been done today. Appreciate the men, and when I was singing it, men ought to be leaders. You know, that's what you see in the choir. I appreciate that. Appreciate the singing and appreciate it all. Let's stand together. Luke chapter number 11, verse 1-4. Came to pass as that he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive them that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'd continue to lead in this service, that you'd be in control and lead me as you have me to say, what you'd have me to say, that be honored to you and helpful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I read this verse, of course, verse 1, 2. He taught him to pray, he said, "Our Father, which is in heaven." This is Father's Day, and I'm not going to be a complete Father's Day sermon, but I do want to talk about some things. Our Heavenly Father, I want to talk about things that are in heaven, that are in heaven. You know, heaven's a special place, and that's where our treasures are. Matthew 6, he tells us that, Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So heaven's a special place where we put treasures or special things. The word treasure means deposits or wealth. We go to put to the bank to put our money in the bank in a safe place. And well, heaven's where we ought to put our real treasures. And also it says there that where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Colossians, he said, "Set your affections on things above." So heaven's a special place. It's where some precious things are. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. In this verses that we read in verse 2, our Father is in heaven. Now I'm talking about in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 32, he calls him our heavenly Father. Now most all of us have an earthly father, but I hope you have a heavenly Father. Now if he's our heavenly Father, that means we are his sons. We are his sons. In 1 John chapter 3, he said in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love." That word "behold" means look at this. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John just is amazed at the love of God that would make us his sons. And it was his sons. He said, we're his sons, and one day we're going to be just like him. Right. You know, we bear the image of our father many times. You can look at one, and yesterday one of the guys had his son here, and I said, you can't deny that. And, you know, we got a heavenly father. And one day we're going to be in his likeness, but he's our heavenly father. We are his sons. And you know, the good thing about being a son is usually you're an heir. You know, you usually inherit from your father, their estate, and I'm glad that we're heirs of God. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, he said in verse 14 through 17, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified with him." That verse says we are his sons. We've received the spirit of adoption. And we cry, Abba, Father. And I've told you before, that word Abba is a real endearing term, like daddy. I mean, this is a personal relationship that we have with him. We're his sons. But it says we're heirs of God. All that he has is ours. We're heirs of God. But not only that, when he's our heavenly father, he does for us what our earthly father does for us. You know, our earthly father's responsibility and fatherhood's been lost to a lot of degree. We ought to take care of our families. We ought to work hard and take care of their needs and take care of things. But God does for us what our earthly father has done for us, and that's take care of our needs. He said in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 31, he talked about how we are concerned all the time about the things that we need. And he said, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father know you have need of these things, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you." He said, he's talking about just worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to be clothed. He said, don't worry about it. The Father knows. Now, he didn't say not to go to work. He said not to worry about it. Now, a man ain't going to lay it around at home and expect God to meet his needs. You know, Paul said, and this is what our government program ought to be, he said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Now, that's from the scriptures, but God does know we do the best we can. And there's no need to worry because God knows what we have need. Of course, if you ever been, yeah, most of y'all not had the privilege of being in the ministry, Brother Moss and Brother Lee Hart, I tell you, there's many times when you have to make a lot of sacrifices, but God meets every need. He doesn't always do it in money and salary, but he meets every need. We've witnessed that over the years in our life. But God knows what you need. And he's a heavenly father, and he's going to meet. Now, he didn't say wants either, but he will meet your needs. He will take care of our basic needs. And not only that, like a father, he watches over us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12, it says, chapter 3, verse number 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that doeth evil. It says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He watches over us. He watches, you know, Matthew 10, he talks about the sparrows, and he talks about how the sparrows are, you can buy sparrows, they're cheap. They're cheap birds. But he said, it said they're not a one of them that doesn't fall to the earth that the Father doesn't see that. God's very aware of what goes on, and he sees those sparrows. He said, how much more value are you than sparrows? And he said, God even knows the number of the hair on your head. Not some it takes more time to count than others, but God knows how many. I mean, he knows everything about us. He's concerned about us. He provides our needs. He watches over us. And it also said there in that verse that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. He's listening to our prayers. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is talking about praying, he said in verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. He's talking about getting a closet with God. God knows our needs. God watches over us, and God hears our prayers. Now, our prayers need to be according to his will, but he hears our prayers. A father is somebody that a child ought to always be able to go to and sit down and talk with and tell them their needs and pour their heart out to them. And I hope you're that kind of father to your children. You need to be that kind of father because God, that's the kind of father. He said, you need something. He said, you want to pray, you go and shut the door. Get by yourself. You're going to be honest in private. He's contrasting this with Pharisees that pray out in public to be seen. You be honest when you get behind the closed doors. And you pour out your heart to God and he hears in secret. He hears our prayers. So he's concerned about us. He's our heavenly father. And we got a heavenly father in heaven. If we've been saved, we have a heavenly father in heaven. And that's one of the things of value that we have there. But not only that, here in Luke chapter number 10, verse 20, our name is in heaven. Our name is in heaven. He said in verse number 20, he said, notwithstanding, the disciples had went out and been preaching, and they were amazed at how the miracles they had done, and the devils were subject to them. And God, Lord said, yes, yeah, I gave you power over them. Right. But he went on and say, he said, notwithstanding, he said, in this rejoice, not that the devils were subject to you, that the spirits were subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our Father's in heaven, but our name is written down in heaven. Now, Revelation chapter 21 says this in verse 27. It says, it's talking about the holy city, the new Jerusalem. We'll talk about that in a little while. He said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. That's where our names are, is in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written in heaven? Now, the question to be, how do you get it wrote down in heaven? It's through the new birth. It's becoming, by faith, becoming a child of God and being saved. Some people honestly believe because their name's on the roll in the church, their name's on the roll in heaven. That's not always the case. We saw in Matthew on our study on Wednesday night that only one-fourth of the seed really produced. Some of them jumped on with excitement. Some of them endured for a while, but only one-fourth of the seed. And I, you know, you wonder how many people are truly saved. Don't depend on the church role. And I've met so many people. I pastored in Roswell, Georgia, north of Atlanta, northern suburb, and a lot of people had moved down in there from other areas of the country, especially up north. And every time you knocked on the door, they were Catholic. And if everybody went to St. Anne's that said they did, that church couldn't hold them. But, you know, you ask them about their salvation, they say, well, I was baptized. And the honest truth is they were baptized as infants. Right. And they've been deceived into believing that put their name on the roll. Right. or their names in heaven. It didn't. It didn't do anything for them. It wet them. The Bible says you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And a baby cannot believe and a baby cannot confess. And it's good to dedicate a baby. You can baptize them all day and they're not saved. It's only by the new birth and by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And we get our names written down in heaven, so it's through the new birth. You know, I got my name into the Wallace family because I was born into the family, and I got a birth certificate. They had them in those days. And it's got my father's name on it, my mother's name on it. It's got my name on it, and that proves that I belong to this family. I got some brothers probably rather I didn't, but it didn't change the fact. And brother, when we were born again, he wrote our name down in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. And our name's there. And you know the good thing is he knows our name. John chapter 10, verse 3, talking about the shepherd. And it said the shepherd leads his flock, and he said he calls them by name. I'm glad he knows us personally. He knows our name. You know, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter number 2, in letters to the seven churches, he said to the church at Pergamos in verse 17, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth but he that received it." One of these days he's got a name for us. He knows our name. He says he's going to give us a white stone with a name written in it that only we will know. But anyway, he knows our name. We're recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our name is in heaven. And I'm glad that's permanent. I'm glad that's permanent. You know, Revelation chapter 3, also at the church of Sardis, he said this in verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." The overcomers in 1 John describe those that have faith in Jesus Christ. They're overcomers. He said, "The overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." The overcomers, their name will never be blotted out. Amen. Our name is permanent in heaven. Amen. You know, if I didn't believe in eternal security, eternal salvation, that's the only kind God gives. Right. He said he'd give us, if we believe on him, he'd give us eternal life. It's not temporary. It's not probationary. Right. Can you imagine what heaven's role would look like to write that name down? Then erase it when we sin, write that name down. You ever had to erase your homework paper so much it rubbed through the paper and you just, I mean, goodness gracious, what kind of role is that? It'd be a mess, wouldn't it? I mean, constantly having to add and subtract. I'd be off every day. I mean, I don't get out here and kill nobody, but what sin would it take to get it off? I'm glad it's permanent. We're in the family. We're in the family. He knows our name. It's permanent. And that name, it will allow us entrance, if we read a while ago, into the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse 27, we read a while ago, he said, the only ones that will enter it, nothing that a defile will be able to enter the city. But those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it gives us entrance one day. Amen. To that city, the New Jerusalem. In chapter 20, it says that those that are not written in the Book of Life will be cast in like a fire. It guarantees us entrance into the heavenly city and guarantees we're not going to be in hell. But our name is in heaven. And I hope this morning, really honestly, you know for sure that you have a heavenly Father and your name is in heaven. Not only that, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. In verse number 20, he said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, our conversation is in heaven. Now, you look up that word conversation in Strong's, it says community or citizens. We're citizens. Our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our name is recorded there, and we're citizens of heaven. You know, I'm a citizen of Dade County, Georgia. I'm a citizen of Trenton. That gives me certain rights and privileges. But I'm a citizen, and my name's recorded down there as owning property. I go to the transfer station, it says no outside residents. I'm a resident. I can dump my garbage in there. That got nothing to do with it. But anyway, we're citizens. And it says here that with our conversation is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven.
Right.
We belong there.
Amen.
Our name's there. And you know, being a citizen of heaven, that means we're ambassadors of heaven.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, you know what an ambassador is. We send ambassadors to other countries. That means they represent us in that country. They represent our president, and they represent his views, and they represent this country. And I'd hate for them to go over there and be a dog drunk that doesn't do nothing but, you know, embarrass this country. We are citizens of heaven, and we're ambassadors, and we ought to behave as ambassadors of that city. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it uses this word again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we ought to represent him well. He said, let your conversation, that word conversation is kin to the other one. It means behave as a citizen. To behave as a citizen. He said, we ought to let our conversation as it becometh the gospel. Our behavior as a Christian ought to reflect what we're professing. And it ought to profess what we are. And we ought to look like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, smell like a Christian, be a Christian. That means Christ-like. We ought to reflect the country we're a citizen of. You know, you go to different parts of the world, and if you've ever done that, they can pick an American out. I don't know how. Maybe we all look the same. I don't know. You can just tell. And we can tell when people's foreigners. You know, we can tell. You know, we look like Americans. They can tell the difference. And they ought to be able to tell the difference that we're a citizen of heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, we need to be careful how attached we get to this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he calls us strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. And the word stranger means an alien resident. Boy, we heard a lot about that. We're aliens here. We're alien. We live here, but we're alien residents. It means a foreigner or have a home nearby. We've got a home nearby. And it's in heaven. Talk about that in a minute. But we're strangers here. You know, Abraham was a good example of what we ought to be. Now, Abraham, he was promised the land that they're fighting now. You know, he was promised that land, and it's his, and it's the Jews forever. But Abraham looked beyond that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham sojourned in the land God promised him. He said, I don't belong here. He said, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just a stranger. And the proof of that is he lived in a tent, temporary. He lived in a tent. He didn't build him a structure. He lived in a tent. He knew he's moving on. And he said he was looking for a city that hath foundations and whose builder and maker was God. He lived like a pilgrim, and he looked ahead for something better. He was looking for a heavenly city, one that hath foundations. So Abraham's our example. We don't need to get too attached down here, and boy, we're attached. I mean, we live here, and I worked here, and I, you know, look forward to one day maybe being retired like Phyllis and sit around doing nothing, draw a check. I mean, we love this life. It's a good life. But there's something better than down here. And we are citizens of another country, and we ought to live like it. We ought to long for it. We ought not get too attached to the things of this world. Not only that do we have our citizenship in heaven, but our home is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. I'm glad we've got earthly houses here. But, you know, our house is under construction. Anybody ever build a house? It can be a long, hard process, but our house is under construction. Phyllis got experience in that. A bunch of it. In chapter 5, I was thinking now, trying to think the other day how many new houses she's had. You know, a bunch. You know, any woman would want a new house, wouldn't they? You know, that's not true. This is a side point. You guys, I told her one day, I kept selling her house. See, for her birthday, I buy her for sale signs. She come home one day and had a for sale sign yard with a happy birthday balloon on it. I bought her a house plan book for Valentine's Day. I said, pick it out. You're moving. I'm not moving. Then we move. But you know, I said, you know, what woman would not want that? So she put a poll on Facebook. Most women said they would not want to move. They want to stay where they're at. I thought any woman would want a house plan book and say, pick it out. I thought I was a good husband. I found out I'm not too good. But, you know, always houses under construction. Well, we got a home under construction. We're the bride of Christ. We're a spouse to Him, and He said that He was going to go home and build us one. You know, the Jewish tradition was to go home to the Father's house and add on to it. I'm glad we don't have that. No, we don't have that tradition. I don't want to add on to my house and let them live there. The Bible said, raise up a child in the way it ought to go. Go, not stay. They're yo-yos now. They come back. But Jesus said, but that was the Jewish tradition. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Before he went away, one of the last things he told them, says, I'm leaving. And he said, but I'm going to prepare a place. He's got a bride down here. We're espoused to him. He's preparing a place on the other side. And so it's under construction, but John in Revelation 21, he saw it finished. John 21, verse 2, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In verse 9, he said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit and to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descended from God out of heaven. John said, I saw it completed. And he saw it coming down. And he said, this is the bride. This is where the Lamb's wife would be. And if you want to know what it looks like, you can start in verse 11 of chapter 21 and read on down. And he describes something that we can't hardly believe. Our home is under construction, and John saw it finished. And we have a reservation there. Do you have a reservation? He said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4. He talked about verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again with a lively hope until the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens for you. We make reservations. We call ahead of time to make reservations at a motel. Sometimes they get mixed up. Well, I'm glad we got a reservation. It's reserved for us. We've got a home in heaven being built for us, and it is reserved, and it is eternal. It is eternal. He said in that scripture that it is incorruptible, and it does not fade away. You know, we rode through, you know, when you ride through communities, these houses across the street used to be brand new homes. And they're nice homes, but they're not brand new anymore. And you ride down the street and you can see deterioration on homes. That's what it is down here, just a constant upkeep. That's the blessedness of home ownership. Constant, you got to have a roof. You know, the good thing about getting my age and older, you got your last roof. You probably got your last car sometimes. And you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. But it does fade away, and it does rot. It does, but one day this is incorruptible. And you know, the good thing is the very most important part of building a house is its foundation. You got to start out right to end up right. And if the foundation's not good, you got a problem. In Revelation 12, when you read it, said it had 12 foundations. That's pretty solid, isn't it? Has 12 foundations. And Abraham, when he was looking for a city, he looked for one that had foundations. He wanted something permanent. He wanted something that's going to be solid and going to stay there. You see these ads on TV, have you got a cracked foundation? And they're going to come fix it. And they're going to really fix you. It costs a lot of money to fix a foundation. I've told guys when I build houses, I've told them when they pour the foundation, I said, you know, there's a minimum standard. And I said, don't ever go under that. I don't care if it goes over that, but don't go under that. You know, there's a lot of things you can fix about a house, but you got a foundation problem. You got a lot of money spending to fix that thing. Well, I'm glad we got a house, home in heaven. We don't have to worry about none of that stuff anymore. It's permanent. It's incorruptible. It's going to always be there forever and ever and ever. So our home's in heaven. And we got to remember that, you know, we're looking to leave here, and we're looking for a better place. But more importantly, our loved ones are in heaven. Our loved ones are in heaven. The believer, when he dies, go directly to heaven. Or if they're unbeliever, they go directly to hell. There's only two destinations, and there's no in-between. I know there's a doctrine of purgatory. I think Catholicism teaches purgatory, a place where you go in between and you pay a certain thing, time for your sins, and you get in. No, sirree. You made your decision in this life. And that's and you're going to go one way or the other when you die. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's, and you know, Paul knew. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter, I think chapter 11 or chapter 12, you know, he had that out-of-body experience where he went to heaven. He saw it. And he knows what's there. He said there's things he couldn't even tell us about. He said I'm looking forward to depart. But he said, I know I'm going to have to stay here for your sake. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is our earthly house, and it's the body we live in. But one day we're going to leave it, and to be absent here is to be present there instantaneously. I want to read this verse in 2 Samuel chapter 12. David said this in verse 23, and he's talking about his baby. You know, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she expected a child. And because of his sin, God judged him, and God told him, said, the baby's going to die. The baby was born out of that situation. And David fasted and prayed, and God didn't change his mind. And then when they heard the baby was dead, he just got up and ate. They said, why are you fasted and you prayed, but now the baby's dead. Why are you getting up and eating and washing yourself? And I'll read verse 22 ahead of it. He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and the child may live? But now that he's dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Amen. You know, I don't. This is the only scripture I know that talks about babies dying as far as where they are. And David had assurance that I can't bring him back here, but I can go to where he is. You know, and I you know, if you've lost a baby, I believe one day you're going to see that baby. I do. I think that baby was under God's watch care. And David said, I'm going to. So, that's a hope and a comfort, I think. I hope you've never been through that. I know some here have. But if you lost that little baby, one day you're going to see him again. Oh, yeah. All these aborted babies, you know. Yes, but anyway, when we die, we go to heaven. And then I believe we're escorted to heaven by the angels. Luke chapter 16, when Jesus talked about Lazarus, the Bible said he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And I think, you know, the Bibles are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. They minister to us. I believe in guardian angels. And I believe that when we die, the Lord escorts us to heaven. I don't know exactly the reason why. I know this, that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. I mean, brother, he's active in the atmosphere, active, you know, and maybe that's why he gives us an escort out of here all the way into heaven. Who knows what the devil's trying to do? Not only that, but Paul, we know that they're in heaven, and Paul comforts us, and we've read this scripture a lot lately. Paul comforts us concerning those that have passed on. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. I think that probably the Thessalonians had questions about their loved ones that had died. And he tells them about this. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, I've read this hundreds of times and at funerals, but I went through this, and really I got a lot of things underlined, but that word them is mentioned over and over, is several times in these scriptures. He said, I will not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Your loved ones that have died. He said, I want you to know, not to be ignorant, I want you to know what's going to happen to them, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Them are with him. Because when he comes, he's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that have died. Now their bodies in the grave, the souls in heaven. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. He says here, they're with him. Them, those that died in Christ, are with him. And he'll bring them back when he comes in the air, and we'll meet them there, and we'll go be with them forever. If you got someone that's died, that's been saved, they're safe. They're in heaven. That's some of our treasures that are up there, is our loved ones that have died. I want us to stand together. Brother Bill comes with a hymn of invitation. And I close with this. Our Father's in heaven. And that's where all of our treasures, our valuable things, ought to be. But I want to ask you this. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you, we got a heavenly Father, but he also gave us an earthly Father. And how many of you know that your earthly Father is in heaven? They passed on. Some of you raise your hand. You feel free to do that. My dad died a long time ago, and I know from his testimony and what he said, and he was a preacher and all that, but that didn't, his salvation's when you accept Christ. And how many of you know that your Father is in heaven? Well, if you don't know you're going to join him, you need to make things ready today. Your Father's in heaven, you can be there too. I remember a friend of mine I went to school with, he was in our wedding, and his mother died. You know, and as far as I know, he's a Christian. He professes to be a Christian. And I was talking to him about it, and he's talking about his mother dying, and he said, if my mother's in heaven, that's where I want to be. But if my mother's in hell, that's where I want to be. I don't know what you're saying when you say something like that. I understand the attachment. But let me tell you, if your mother or dad's in hell, they sure don't want you down there. Right. Luke 16, the rich man in hell begged. He said, send somebody. Send Lazarus back to my five brethren and tell them, don't come to this place of torment. Amen. And he said, send somebody back from the dead. They'll believe somebody back from the dead. He said, no, they have Abraham. They have the law and the prophets. Let them hear what the Bible has to say. If you got someone that died lost, and I don't know, but they don't want you coming down there. But if you got somebody in heaven, they sure want to see you again. Yes. And it's our privilege to see them. So if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you need to make sure this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless during this time. God, this is eternal things we're talking about. And many of our fathers have gone on and left a testimony that they had faith in Christ and left a good name. And I pray you'd help us to consider our own situation. We got to make sure. And I pray if there's someone here today not saved or not sure, that they'd make that sure today. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to come. We welcome you.